Andrew Parker, the head of the British version of the CIA, MI5, recently told the BBC that authorities prevented 6 potential terrorist attacks in the UK in the past year, the highest number he can remember in his 32-year career. He also said stopping potential attacks is increasingly out of the reach of authorities because of advances in technology, and internet companies have an ethical responsibility to help.
We need to be able to monitor the communications of terrorists. We need to be able to obtain data about their communications. We need to be able to obtain other information about them. But through all this, I think the important thing to say is that we're focused on the people who mean us harm. We're not about browsing through the private lives of the citizens of this country.
Well, despite that assurance, civil rights activists are alarmed. Gordon Correa is the BBC's security correspondent in London. Gordon, first, how unusual is it for the head of MI5 to do a live interview?
It's absolutely unprecedented. It's never happened before that he's done any kind of real broadcast news interview. So appearing live in a radio studio really was something unusual. Now, in terms of why he did that, well, partly of, as we heard, it's the threat that MI5 consider very serious at the moment because of ISIS, ISIL, so-called Islamic State, and the fear of attacks there. But it's also because of this need to be more transparent and open about what they do. There's some legislation coming up through the British Parliament in the next couple of months which will overhaul both the powers that these intelligence agencies have and the kind of oversight and accountability. And I think appearing on the media, on the BBC, coming into the studio here was part of saying we are willing to be more transparent. We need the new powers, but we're also willing to explain ourselves much more than we used to do in the past.
And tell us more about what, in that explanation, what he's asking for, specifically what he's asking internet companies to do.
The key aspect of the powers is really to do with surveillance and keeping up with technology. So it's about maintaining the ability to intercept communications and collect data about people. The intelligence agencies argue they're not really after new powers. It's about keeping their existing capabilities in the face of technological change. But of course, some people are sceptical about that and says this will lead to more power because we're communicating more and there's more data. Now, on that issue of the tech companies, I mean, this is an interesting one because much of the way we communicate now is over social media, is through companies. You think about Gmail and things like that. And there are two issues here. Firstly, those companies are often in America, and so they're not, if you like, within the boundary of UK law. So there's an issue. How do you persuade those companies to cooperate with a warrant, for instance, for data, for intercept? But secondly, should the companies be doing more? So, for instance, should they proactively report suspicious content on, for instance, Facebook or messages which are going across Facebook?
Do they have an ethical responsibility? Which he says they do.
Those companies, if you talk to them privately, I mean, that they will say, well, we'll comply with the law, but our job is not to spy on our users. And obviously, there's the Edward Snowden factor here and an increased focus on privacy. And so there is a kind of debate about how much the companies should do. And if you like, Andrew Parker talking in this way is part of government's making its case and trying to some extent to put the pressure on the companies to do more, because I think they know you can't really legislate for this. It's more about trying to persuade the companies that it's their duty to do more and it's in their interest to do more. And that's partly about making the case and trying to persuade public opinion that that kind of cooperation is more important than too much emphasis on privacy for the user from the companies.
Well, and of course, we've had these conversations here in the U.S. over the last 15 years. And right now in the U.S., the CIA oversees an intelligence unit called the Open Source Center. It was created in 2005. It's supposed to scour publicly available data, including Twitter feeds, Facebook posts, web forums, where a terrorist might post material. Give us context here. Is that something Andrew Parker wants? Does Britain have anything even close to that?
Well, it's more than open source, if you like. It's more than just what's published. Let me give you a kind of concrete example, which was A few years ago, there was an attack in London, and a man called Lee Rigby, who was a soldier, was killed outside his barracks. Now, an inquiry into that found that the only messages that might have pointed towards the attack taking place were private Facebook messages between one of the men who carried out the attack and a known militant. And though the accounts had been closed by Facebook because of extremist activity, but it had never been flagged to the authorities that there'd been messaging through these accounts. And this is private messaging, so it wouldn't have been something that could have been accessible in any other way.
Well, hold on a second. Gordon, I just want to ask you. So in other words, Facebook did detect what they thought was inappropriate terrorist communications and shut it down?
Well, Facebook have never officially talked about this, and they won't even confirm that it was then, and they weren't mentioned in the report, but it is thought to be then. But there is a bit of ambiguity about what happened, whether there were the individual may have had multiple accounts and may have publicly posted, for instance, some extremist activity on their account, and that might have led it to be shut down. But then the issue was, should they, in doing that, also have notified the authorities rather than just closing down the public-facing account, so that the internal messages could have been read, and that might have spotted some of the plans. That's the kind of thing which has sparked a debate here about the role of companies, as well as the extent to which they're building in encryption into their products, and which makes it harder for law enforcement to get access. That's the kind of going dark debate, which I know has also been happening in the US with the FBI.
Now, what did Mr. Parker say in response to people who are worried about human rights violations or the fact that cracking down more on people who may be innocently using social media or the internet might lead to anger and radicalization?
You know, there is that debate here about whether the scale of monitoring that should take place, how much should there be? And particularly after the Edward Snowden revelations, which were about Britain's GCHQ, its electronic signals agency as well, about whether there was too much going on and too much in secret. And really what you heard Andrew Parker doing was making the case, well, we need these powers, but we understand that if we're going to have these powers, we're going to have to be more open about them. We're going to have more oversight and accountability over the way in which we use these powers. And I think that was the kind of message that they were putting out, partly to say to people, there is a threat out there, so we need the powers, but also to try and deal with the civil liberties and the privacy argument by saying we're willing to accept more scrutiny over our use of those powers.
How is Mr. Parker's talk with the BBC being received? Again, the first time ever a sitting MI5 head has spoken publicly. You said that was extraordinary. But how's it being received? I mean, here in the U.S., when we've had these conversations post 9/11 about privacy versus security, from the Patriot Act on forward, there's been some skepticism in some parts when the public is presented with this dire notion of how many plots were foiled and what the problem really is. Are people believing what he's saying about the increase in plots foiled and yet maybe still have some concerns about privacy? Or are people not believing it? What's been the reception?
That's a good question. I think it's complicated because people do have quite entrenched positions already. I think, you know, in the UK, they've seen the debate in the US and they've seen the way in which, you know, some of the 54 plots turns into six, turns into how many, you know, and have been perhaps more cautious and careful in their language. They don't speak out as often here, which also means it tends to carry more weight. Now, obviously, if they continue to speak out more, you get a law of diminishing returns and people will, I think, pay less attention. But I think that the fact of it being rare adds to the impact and the way it's received. And the fact it was quite an extended 15, 20 minute interview live on air, which is very unusual, quite risky in a way for an intelligence head to do that, but a sign of, I think, that they in the security and intelligence community know that there's a lot at stake at the moment in this debate about privacy and security.
So, Gordon Correa, it just would be your guess, but what do you think is going to happen?
Well, what I think is going to happen next in the UK, I think we're going to get this new legislation. I think that's likely to be passed. I think the terrorist threat, unfortunately, you know, is very high in the UK at the moment, and it looks like it's going to be there to last, thanks to the conflict in Iraq and Syria. So I think it might not be the last time we hear from the head of MI5.
That's Gordon Correa, the BBC security correspondent in London. Gordon, thank you.
Thank you.